Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Hey, good morning, church. If I haven't met you, my name is Brandon. I'm the College and Adults pastor here. It's always a privilege to get to be with you guys. We've been going through this series called Be Holy, Confronting Sin. And what's interesting is about a lot of these sins that we are talking about in this culture, we see that they're tolerated, right? Maybe even accepted. We talked about in the last few weeks, sexual sin, worry, unwholesome words. And today we're talking about selfishness, which is not just tolerated, it's not just accepted, it is even celebrated in our culture. So selfishness is another one of those sins that is celebrated in our culture. If you're married today and just thought to yourself, oh yes, my spouse needs to hear this, that was a pretty selfish thought. I just want to let you guys know that. The Gospel Coalition says self-worship is becoming the fastest growing religion. Self-worship is becoming the fastest growing religion. You can see this in our culture, right? It's all about me. Everything is about me. We have these phrases that are commonplace now, things like follow your heart, right? Like your emotions are authoritative, but then the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And then we say things like, hey, just do whatever makes you happy. But then Jesus is going to say, hey, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very self? We say things like, your truth is your truth, or my truth is my truth. But Jesus said, no, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. This is the selfie generation, right? Like 92 million selfies are taken in a day, and that's just one teenager. That's not true. I don't know if you've been to the gym lately, and I'm going to take a second here and pick on Gen Z. I'm the College and Adult pastor, so I hang out with Gen Z a lot, and so I feel safe picking on them. I don't know if you've been to the gym lately and seen Gen Z there. They're the ones over by the mirror. Where everyone else is working out, they kind of do like a little workout, and then they go to the mirror, and they're like flexing and like doing their thing, and then they go back and work, and then they go back to the mirror and flex, and it's kind of this rotation that you just see over and over. I only flex in the mirror at home, so I'm better, but you see this. In fact, there was one time I was at the gym, and these two young guys had to have been like 18, 19. They're taking videos of themselves working out. They're not really working out. They're literally just getting videos and then looking at them, and then they left. And I don't know them. I don't follow them on social media, but I would just love to believe that they posted those videos, and they posted something like, man, just keep your head down and work. You know, something like, you know, quote like that, like just humbly working, grinding every day, you know, something like that. But listen, you may not stare at a gym mirror, but you're putting up other mirrors in your life. We all have mirrors in our life. And listen, sometimes you look in the mirror and you love what you see. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Either way, it's all about self. Either way, it's all about self. So the question we're going to be talking about today is, where do you have mirrors in your life, in your marriage? Or when you're talking to your spouse, are you holding up a mirror? When you go to work, are you holding up a mirror? When you come into church, are you holding up a mirror? Where are we making things all about ourselves? We see this in kids. Kids have to be taught to share. Kids have to be taught to be kind. Kids have to be taught to let others go first. Kids have to be taught not to bite. Kids do not have to be taught to be selfish. They figure that one out on their own real fast. Well, why is that? Well, here's your first point. We're all naturally drawn to selfishness. We are all naturally drawn to selfishness. We see this in the Garden of Eden with the first sin, right? With Adam and Eve. Eve wasn't just like, oh man, I'm tempted because that fruit looks so delicious. No, the temptation was, if you eat this, you'll be like God. You'll know everything he knows. That was the temptation that happened. So this is the sin that we're naturally drawn to, which now in our culture is being celebrated all around us, which makes it a lot harder to not listen to the stuff that's tickling our ears going, yeah, I should want to be happy. I should come first. I should always make myself number one. So what do we do? We're going to be in Philippians 2 today. A little background. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi while sitting in a Roman prison. So we even see Paul in the midst of what could be a moment to complain about how this isn't fair. He instead is using these moments to encourage the church. So let me pray for us and we're going to dive into our scripture today. God, we come before you today and we just thank you, God, that you are humble, that you are selfless, God. We thank you for the example that you have set for us, God. As we dive into your word today, I just pray that you would illuminate it to us, God. God, I pray, God, you would convict us today in the areas that we are selfish, God. God, show us clearly where we are holding up mirrors in our own lives and making everything about us, God. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So the first thing we see here is this therefore, right? Is how we start this. And so the passage that connects to this is Philippians 1, 27 through 30. And Paul is telling the Philippians how to stand strong for the Lord in external conflicts. And now in this part, he's going to talk about internal conflicts. And so here we are as a people who are naturally drawn to selfishness. We want to make even the things of God we want to make about us, right? This is the Pharisees where they struggle with this, where they were so good at following God's law. And in the midst of that, they were going, yeah, look how awesome I am at following God's law. They made it all about them. But then we have Paul here in this passage saying, no, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. This is hard. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. We want to make everything about us. This past November, we had a young adult retreat. We went to the Smoky Mountains, and I was a part of a team going up. We were going to set the cabin up. We were like the advanced team going up, and on the way there, we're making conversation. I think we even had like a game, like someone brought cards and was like asking questions from the card box, and this is the question that was asked. The question was, what do you wish you got more credit for? What do you wish you got more credit for? And man, God put something on my heart and mind immediately that was so convicting. And I immediately answered, I wish I got more credit for not taking credit for stuff. And that was a very real answer for me. I wish I got more credit for not taking, there's a lot of times in my life where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna do the godly thing. I am not gonna take credit. I'm not gonna brag. We're not gonna post about that. Like, we're not gonna, you know, and I'm like, why isn't anybody noticing? Come on, do you guys see how godly I am right now? Like, we, even our attempts to be godly can become about us. Even our attempts to be godly can become about us. And Jesus knows this about us. And when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandments? He said this in Mark 12, 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So when you're asking what's the greatest commandment, he gives us two things, neither of which is about us. The word self is in there because it's love your neighbor as yourself, which we've already established we love ourselves a lot. So we are called to love our neighbors a lot. See, Jesus already knows we're drawn to selfishness. And he's telling us to get our eyes off of ourselves and to put them on God and then on to others. What would it look like if you loved others as much as you loved yourself? Can you imagine, like, man, my marriage would be so much better. My family would be so much better. The church would be better. Everywhere I went would be better off if I could do that in, like, totality of the way Jesus did it. I'm not there yet. I'm striving for that, right? That's the goal, is that the trajectory for all of us is heading that direction. We're never going to get there. But I hope in 10 years I'm better at this than I am now. Jesus modeled this incredibly well for us. Have you ever thought what you would do if you had one day left to live and you knew it? Like, what would you do if you had one day left to live and you knew it? Like, you would, man, like, eat cake, right, for every meal. Like, you just do whatever you want, go skydiving, like, not worried about if the parachute doesn't open, you know, risk reward there. There's, like, you do all the things you want to do, right? Jesus knew he had one day left on earth, and he washed his disciples' feet. He knew he had one day left on earth, and he washed his disciples' feet. Keep in mind, he also knew Judas was about to betray him, and he washed his feet. He knew Thomas was going to doubt him, and he washed his feet. He knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times after swearing he would never do it, and he washed his feet. And then when he was done, he said, "I set the example. Go and do as I have done. I set the example. Go and do as I have done." We're called to serve everyone, not just people we like, not just people like us. Sometimes serving those people can be easy and fun. But when we begin to serve those you dislike, the people that aren't like you, that's real selflessness. All right, let's keep reading in Philippians 2. We're going to be in verse 5 through 8. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So the answer to our selfishness isn't behavior modification or trying harder. It says it right there in verse 8. He humbled himself. We are striving for humility. He humbled himself even to the point of death. Humility leads to a selfless life. Humility leads to a selfless life. C.S. Lewis, you've probably heard this quote at some point. It says, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." So it's not thinking, man, I'm just awful, I'm the worst, I can't do anything right. Like, no, that's not humility. It's just not thinking of yourself. It's getting your eyes off of yourself. So I think we could even add to that quote, thinking more of others and of others more. Like, I think that's that next step. When we're thinking less of ourselves, let's think of others more. Humility leads to a selfless life. Pride leads to a selfish life. Pride leads to a selfish life. This is not all-encompassing, but here's 4 things that pride does in our life. First one, pride leads to fights. Pride leads to fights. If you're the kind of person who is always getting in arguments with people, there might be some pride there. If you're the type of person who is constantly getting in fights, there might be some pride there. Look at what it says in James 4. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire, that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. So you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." See what it said there? You cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. It's selfishness. It leads to fights. Number 2, pride leads to comparison. Pride leads to comparison. Whether that is good comparison, whether that is bad comparison, where we're going, man, I am so much better than them, or we're going, oh man, I could never be that. It's still all about self, and it's destructive in our life. Number 3, pride leads to disunity. Pride leads to disunity. Go back to verse 2. It says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind." Church, for us to stay unified, we have to be humble. For us to stay unified, we have to be humble. Pride leads to disunity. And then number 4, pride comes before the fall. Maybe you've read the verse, Proverbs 16, 18 says this, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I learned this lesson when I was in high school. I was a basketball player when I was in high school, and I was just okay. I wasn't great. But there's one thing I could do. I could shoot threes. And there's this one game that I was just on fire. Like, I couldn't miss. I had hit six or seven threes in a row. And after the second or third three, I was getting real cocky. And I started doing this really just dumb thing where I would take a three like this, and I'd, like, wave it in front of my face after I hit a three on somebody. And I'd backpedal and be like, yeah. So after I hit a few more, I hit my last one. It was, like, six or seven. And I hit one, and I'm right in front of, like, the opposing benches over here. And I hit the three, and I turn to the bench to do this to him as I'm, like, sidestepping. I tripped over my own feet, fell down right in front of the bench. I didn't hit another three that game. Pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. Look at verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So in our marriages, have the same mindset as Jesus. In your friendships, have the same mindset as Jesus. With your roommates, have the same mindset as Jesus. With your coworkers, have the same mindset as Jesus. In the church, have the same mindset as Jesus. Now, what is that mindset? It tells us he made himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, meaning complete sacrifice. That is what the fullness of humility looks like. And this is what God is calling us to lay down our I wants, to lay down my I deserves, to lay down any entitlement, anything that is about me, and look at God and others first. Mother Teresa said this, "A life not lived for others is not a life." A life not lived for others is not a life. So what are some things we can do here? Here's your next point. When you take your eyes off of yourself and place them on Jesus, you begin to see others. When you take your eyes off of yourself and place them on Jesus, you begin to see others. You begin to see them the way Jesus sees them. See, we need to put mirrors down. We're walking into all these places holding up mirrors. We need to put our mirrors down. And here's five ways we can do that. Number one, worship. Have you ever had that moment, man, where you're maybe filled with anxiety, filled with stress about something, filled with worry about something, and you come to church or you have some moment where you just worship God and it begins to melt away? Have you had that moment? It's because you're taking your eyes off of yourself and you're putting it on something else. You're putting it on someone bigger, someone better, someone greater, someone that is in control, someone that is worthy to be looked at. Worship. Number two, serve. If you are serving, this is evidence that you already understand that this life isn't about you. Listen, the church of all places should never be low on volunteers. We just shouldn't. The church of all places should never be looking for volunteers because we don't have enough. We should all be stepping up to serve somewhere, to meet needs. Number three, submitting in obedience. Man, this is humility. Submitting in obedience to whatever God has called us to. Not making things about ourselves. Maybe that is serving. So, like, maybe you don't want, sometimes you don't want to serve. And you can ask anyone who serves weekly. There's a whole lot of days you don't feel like it. I know we have a lot of kids volunteers back there that there are certain days where they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this today. But they keep on serving. I promise you there's people who work out in the parking lot. On a day like today, it's pretty nice. In January, when it's cold and rainy, they may not want to be there, but they serve and they sacrifice. Number four, caring for others. There are people all around us in need. How are we taking all the good gifts that God has given us, not to own, but to steward? Right, like my house was given to me by God, it's not mine. My truck is not given to me by, or was given to me by God, it's not mine. Everything I have was given to me by God to steward for his glory, to care for others. And then number five, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Jesus died for us, but we're called to die to ourselves. die to selves, putting other people ahead of us, putting away what we want so that other people can have something. I want to show you this video of Callie Gentry. She is a senior at our Franklin campus, and she's interviewed here by her small group leader, Roseanne. I want you guys to check this out.
It's official. You're about to graduate. After 7 years together in small group, it has been a joy. It's been a joy to watch you and really all the senior girls navigate school, relationships, hard stuff, great stuff, celebrate, but too, just walking through the tough times together as a group. It's been a gift specific to navigating hard times. Like, what about your relationship with Jesus do you feel has made all the difference?
When I was younger, I thought that I had had that relationship, but then when I had gone through some hard times, I lost a couple of my grandparents to cancer. It really just shook what I thought was the firm foundation of my faith. After all my prayer had gone unanswered, I had thought why that had happened, and I really turned away from God. A few years later, I really made my faith my own, and I was baptized by you. And the following year, I had found out that my dad was diagnosed with cancer, which was really hard to hear, but it was also different this time because instead of turning away from God like I had, this time I turned to him, and I really just felt his peace overwhelm me. And I knew that no matter what happened, it was all going to be okay because it was all part of his greater plan.
And I'm excited to see what the Lord has for you in this next season. I know that similarly, I've watched this journey for you through baptism, through just cultivating deeper roots in your relationship with Jesus and being intentional daily. Those things are markers of growth, and it has been a joy to watch you grow. It's been beautiful, and I'm excited for this next chapter.
7 years is a long time that you've stuck through it, the good and the bad, through our lives, through your life. It just makes me think back to when I decided to rededicate my life to Christ after all of the hard things I had been through. And you were there for me at Beach Week when I had made that choice. And then the following Sunday, you baptized me here. I don't think there's a way to really put into words how big of an impact that you've had on all of us, and me especially.
I love this, because what you're seeing here with Roseanne is that she has been pouring into Callie and these senior girls for 7 years. Man, just like we were talking, I guarantee you there was some Sunday nights that she didn't want to come back to church, that she just wanted to stay home and do something for herself, but she continued to serve week after week, year after year. And now what you're seeing with Callie is that she's serving with kids, and she's doing the same thing for kids, and you're seeing that trickle down. This is what happens when we are selfless, right? You see that trickle down to other people. It's putting the mirror down and looking at somebody else, taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting them on to Jesus. And 1 Peter 5:5-6 says this: "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Here's the truth. Every single one of us has tendencies to be the 19-year-old kid flexing at the gym. It might be a different area in your life. It might be in your marriage. It might be with your family. It might be at your job. It might be, I don't know where it is for you. Francis Chan said one time, "No one is ever going to hold up a mirror in heaven." I think that's true. No one is ever going to hold up a mirror in heaven. Why? Because when you are in the presence of the Almighty God, there is nothing about that moment that you want to make about you. There's no point at that time where you're like, man, I am awesome, when you're in the presence of God. When it comes to the sin of selfishness. I don't want to leave here and go, man, I just need to work on these things. I just got to get better at these things. Let me just get disciplined and white knuckle. And I'll get, no, the real answer to this is to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put them onto God, which means draw near to God. It says in James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So get in God's word, right? Pray, worship, serve, do the things that God has called you to do. And I promise you, the selfishness is just going to slowly fade away. Because the more you are in the presence of God, the closer you are to God, the less you want things to be about you. We had all these graduates today graduating, which is so awesome. When you think about graduating, you often think about, man, being successful in life and being great at something. We all want to be the greatest athlete or greatest musician or greatest business person or greatest pastor or like whatever these different things are. But if you really ask yourself, who is the greatest of all time? It was Jesus. And it wasn't because he was a great athlete. He may have been. I'm sure he probably was. No, it was because of how humble he was. It was because of how he sacrificed. It was because of the way he served. Your definition of greatness has got to be living a selfless, humble life for Jesus. Because that is our purpose in this life. And so, graduates, if I could leave you with one thing and really leave all of us with one thing, let's put our mirrors down and let's not make this life about us, but let's make it about God and about others. Let's pray. God, God, thank you for the example that you have set for us. That you are a good God, that you love us. God, that you came and you washed feet, that you sacrificed everything for us, God. God, I pray, God, as you spoke through your word today, God, I pray that you would convict our hearts today, this week, as we go about our lives. God, show us where we're holding up mirrors, God. Show us where we can be selfless. Show us where we can make things more about you, God. If we're struggling to draw near to you, God, I pray this is the week that we would get into your word. This is the week that we would pray. This is the week that we would serve. This is the week that we would worship you more than ever, God. And we would see some of that selfishness in our life just fade away because we are closer and closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app. Follow us on social media or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.